It's the West Bear Communications Hour.
Hosted by the publishers of the Westchester County Business Journal and the Fairfield County Business Journal. Leads, news, advice, and more business owners shouldn't miss.
On now and every morning at 7 on Westchester Talk Radio.
We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Good evening, everybody. This is Westchester Talk Radio, and we're broadcasting live this evening from the Arrowwood Hotel in Rye Brook, New York, for the 2018 Doctors of Distinction. We're produced this evening by Shaw Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County's Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Accorder Therapeutics.
Life science.
That's right. That is Matt Kahan, our engineer. I'm Bob Marone here with Jim Cleefield. And if you ever want a doctor, you want a doctor with Lord in their name. This is Dr. Fran Cans Lord, and she is one of the people being recognized. Doctor, good evening.
Good evening.
It's really nice to have you here. And Doctors of Distinction, tell us a little bit about what you do, where you work.
So my name is Fran Ganslord. As you mentioned, I'm an internal medicine doctor by training, and I'm one of two deputy chief medical officers at CareMount Medical. CareMount Medical is a very large multi-specialty group. We cover territory that goes all the way from Westchester up 120 miles, Kingston, New Paltz, you name it. We have fantastic doctors. We're physician-owned and physician-run.
How long have you been in the administrative end of things?
So I've been an administrator for, you know, over 5 years now to varying degrees. Started small.
I was going to say, did you start when you were 10?
See, now you're my favorite person. But I've been in CareMount Medical for about a year and a half, a little longer than that at this point.
Okay. Now, a question I have to ask, only because I was talking to you off air about my daughter, who's a microbiologist. She's moved on up now into administration, managing clean rooms and labs all over. She misses being under the hood, so to speak. Do you miss seeing patients?
So I still see patients.
Good.
I see patients one day a week in one of our urgent cares at our Mount Kisco Urgent Care Center, and I enjoy it tremendously. I do have to say that I miss my patients. I started my career at Cornell in Manhattan, and I
wow.
Yeah, and I had a long history there with a lot of patients, and I miss them terribly.
Is this some? What do you mean a long? You started. When did you start? Preschool, medical school? I didn't know they had it.
I've been doing doctoring since the late 90s.
God bless you, doctor. A question about you. People should get to know you and what motivates you. Because you've won this award tonight. We're going to talk about that in a little while. Did you always want to do this? I mean, when you were a little girl or a teenager, to say, I'm going to medical school and that's that?
No, I wasn't sure. I always loved science, and I was very interested in science. I wasn't 100% sure what I wanted to be. I was very close with one of my aunts, and she was a lawyer, so I thought, well, maybe I would do that and be like her. But, you know, at one point, my grandfather actually got sick, and I was standing at the foot of his bed, and while I was looking at him, I was thinking about what were the cells doing in his body. I wasn't a physician at this point. I'm in high school.
You need help. No, I'm sorry.
Well, it occurred to me that that's not normal, right?
No. It's not. I'm thinking of what your cells are doing right now. What are the cells in your bottom lip do? Go ahead, Doc.
Exactly. So I think at that moment, I kind of knew that this was a more than a passing thought in my mind. And over time, it just strengthened.
Now, I've got some friends who are doctors, and they told me that medical school was harder than practicing. How do you get, and the stress during exams, how did you get through that, or did it come easy to you? You can be honest.
So I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit of an anomaly. Most people say as you get higher and higher up and you're around a more select group of people as you get narrower and narrower in education, that it gets harder. For me, it actually got easier. I think that medicine was just what I was built to do. The coursework made sense to me, and I enjoyed it, and now a bunch of doctors are going to hate me.
No, they're not. We're talking with Dr. Fran Ganslord. She is one of the doctors of distinction here. What you say makes sense in that most people that I get to interview who really are very good at what they do, exceptional at what they do, there was a period along the way where it all made sense intuitively. Whether it was, in your case, how cells work and then how that the whole organism works. For musicians, if they knew two notes, they knew them all. It just, like a bunch of lights went off. and the smile on your face. So you like it. You're right. Doctors are going to hate you.
Oh, no. Doctors, you know, as a group, we go into medicine because we want to help people. We're really lucky in that regard that we don't have to worry about missing the mission in our days. So I think that if you really dug down, a lot of doctors feel the way I do. They just may not have enjoyed medical school the way I did.
This is a troubled human being, but a gifted human being. Sometimes it takes both. Tell us a little bit why you've been recognized tonight, and don't be shy.
So I'm really humbled by this award. I am receiving the Excellence in Leadership Award, and I was nominated by my CEO, who is a legend, Dr. Scott Hayworth. So even the fact that he nominated me is an honor and is super humbling. I think the reason why they recommended me for this award is because we're working on a lot of things at CareMount, but most notably something called practice transformation. So there was an old way of doing medicine and a lot of new rules that have come in, but we get so caught up in the way that we've been doing things before, and of course what we do is help people, so it doesn't seem wrong at any place, you know, but we have to instill some new efficiencies if we're going to answer all of the new burdens, for lack of
a better. What are some of those new things?
So regulations, reporting requirements, being able to not just provide the care but prove it, you know, that's something that doesn't feel as natural to physicians. We just want to be at the bedside helping people.
Well, generally, what you're saying is you're willing to be measured on your results as well.
So, you know, I am more than happy to let CareMount's results speak for themselves, but I do think that we provide even better care than these measures are able to identify. And so it's partly my job to help the group get credit for the exceptional care that we're giving.
Do you like managing people? What about that part of it?
You know, in general, as long as
the smile left her face.
No. So it, you know, it definitely involves having a lot of uncomfortable situations. I'm fortunate in what I do. I get to be a physician advocate, and that feels very natural for me because physicians are really out there struggling every day to get the right care for their patients. But it's a struggle sometimes to figure out the most efficient way or getting people to change when what they're doing is helping people and you say, well, now I want you to help them in a slightly different way. That might feel a little bit uncomfortable for them. So we've been really fortunate. Our doctors are willing to try this on with us. And when they, you know, trust us and let us go through it with them and help support them at the other side, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback.
I can see that. I can see why they picked you for the award, just at least at first blush. An uncommon mix of gravitas and approachability. It's hard to get those two together.
Well, now you're definitely my favorite person.
No, but I'm saying that. It's as you know, having a daughter sort of in the business, it just warms my heart to see you doing so well, but also just in general at the top of your profession, regardless. Do you have any plans, anything you'd like to do in the future, having done so well, frankly, so young? Do you want to run your own group one day? Do you want any type of a specialty?
I definitely don't want to run my own group someday. What I really do enjoy is developing programs for the underserved. So what I do in addition to the practice transformation is I work with a wonderful team on our ACO, our Accountable Care Organization. And we are, you know, really fighting the fight, trying to bend the cost curve that, you know, for healthcare has gotten very, very expensive while preserving and even enhancing quality. So if we can develop programs to help that vulnerable population, my day is a good day.
I bet. Well, I want to thank you for being with us. And before we go, is your family here? Are they coming here to recognize you tonight?
So my mom and dad are actually here, which is very fun. And my husband's here, but I have three girls and they are.
You have three girls? Wait, whoa. Just hold on. See if I got this right. You went to medical school. You went to college. You went to medical school. You interned. You were a doc. You were a straight-up doctor. Now you're a doctor and an administrator. You won an award, and you had three kids. I don't know any other way to say it. Where'd you find the time?
Well, when I find the time, I'll let you know. No, I'm kidding. You know, everything's a balance. And again, I'm really lucky because what I do gets to help people. So when my kids are, you know, not so happy that mommy's got to go to work, they get to hear me say, but I really get to help people.
And actually, they admire that. They really do. Is your husband a doctor? Is he in the business?
He is not. He's IT executive in the insurance industry.
Oh, you married a geek.
Exactly.
Well, listen, doctor, what a pleasure. Dr. Fran Gans-Lord, she is being recognized for leadership in medicine. And you tell people about your group and how they can get a hold of you. Please give it a plug.
Yeah, we'd love to plug Caremount Medical. We have offices all over Westchester, Putnam, Ulster, Dutchess. You know, I think people know our brand because we really are a real recognized brand. So Caremount Medical, we have a string of urgent care centers, surgery centers, you know, of course, primary care offices and specialties, and you can't get better care around here.
If there are any behaviorists who'd like to study her brain because she said she loved medical school, you could find her at Caremount. Thank you very, very much, Doctor.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. Have a great day and congratulations. Wow. We'll be right back after these words.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community, as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit safesecurevital.com.
We have returned. We are broadcasting live this evening. The We is Westchester Talk Radio, and we are broadcasting live from the Arrowwood Hotel, the Doral Arrowwood, I should say, in Rye Brook, New York. I'm here with Jim Cleefield, my co-host, and of course, Matt Kayan, our extraordinary engineer. We're produced this evening by Shaw Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, the Wartburg, Genesis Exhibits, Facelifts Remodeling, and the White Plains YMCA. My next guest, and the word is extraordinary, he is Dr. William Fishman. Let me give you a little bit about his background because it's extraordinary. William H. Fishman, obviously a doctor, is currently the Barbara M. William Rosenthal Professor of Medicine and Chairman of the Department of Medicine, Professor of Pharmacology of New York Medical College, and Chief of Medicine at the Westchester Medical Center in Valhalla. He had many previous roles, but I'll give you this one. He previously served as Professor and Associate Chairman of the Department of Medicine at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine and Chief of Medicine at the Weiler Einstein College Hospital of the Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx. He's also a clinical cardiologist. This guy could cure me and send me home before he's done with dinner tonight. Dr. Fishman, let me first congratulate you for receiving a lifetime achievement award, and you're certainly not done yet.
No, still working.
Still working. Now, for someone to do all the things that you've done, you obviously like it. And so let's get back to the beginning. Did you always want to be a doctor?
Yes. And I knew exactly even what field I wanted to go into in medicine.
Get into that. I mean, I guess it's internal medicine, but I see cardiology, pharmacology. What's your specialty?
I'm a cardiologist and an internist, but predominantly a cardiologist. My reasoning for going into medicine, I lost my dad at a young age, a heart attack. And I knew in that day, I knew what I wanted to do with my life.
Well, what an interesting thing, because many people who lose their parents don't have either the skill or the inclination to pursue that. I'd like to get a little personal, if I may, because when you're motivated that strongly to accomplish what you've achieved, did you ever try and find out exactly why your dad died? If you will, was it his diet, his weight?
Definitely. My dad served in World War II. Everybody smoked in the army. Was encouraged, in fact, by the government
to release stress.
Yeah, you release stress and diet, and that's what happened. There was an epidemic of coronary disease that not only affected my father but affected many young men. I sort of pledged myself that I wouldn't want other families to go through what we did.
Oh, gee, how old was your dad and how old were you?
He was 46. I was 15 and I had a sister 12. My mother was 43.
Where'd you grow up, doctor?
In the Bronx.
God bless you. It's a city boy. I grew up in Brooklyn, so I'm enjoying this even more. Where'd you go to school?
I went to New York City public schools and the Bronx High School of Science.
Okay, in college?
University for college and medical school.
Okay. Cardiology. Let's talk that a little bit, and then we'll talk a little bit more about you. It is fascinating how much they've done in the last just 50 years. I'm 68, so I've seen, I've watched heart bypass come of age, even now transplants, TPA to block, to stop blockages, all kinds of things that you can do. What has been for you the most remarkable innovation since you started practicing?
The ability, we certainly have great things to treat disease, and it's very exciting, but we have great things also that prevent disease now.
Talk about that.
Drugs to lower cholesterol, drugs to lower blood pressure. So we've seen a marked reduction in heart attack and stroke related to these treatments. And what's remarkable about the treatments now, they're all generic. All generic. There are no more brand names, they're generic and inexpensive. Prevention of heart disease is very cheap.
It is, isn't it?
And compared to other things in medicine.
Does it frustrate you, doctor, when people come to you and they're still smoking and maybe they're 50 or 60 and they're not doing well?
Yes. And one of the things I try to go over with them, as I said, I ask them if they have children or grandchildren. And they say, do it for them. You should be here for them. And not die prematurely.
Do you know, that is a powerful motivation. Do you have grandchildren? Because I do as well. Whenever I look at the two of them, I say, I have to stay healthy.
Right. So you're exactly correct. That's, we have a responsibility. People say, look at themselves, but other people count on them.
Now, I found curious in your bio, pharmacology. Well, of course, it's related. You're a doctor of medicine. But to be a professor of pharmacology, tell me a little bit about your interest in pharmacology and how rapidly is it progressing?
Well, all my research has been in, over the last, four over 45 years now, has been in the development of new cardiovascular drugs. We tested them all, some that made it, some that didn't. But clearly, compared to what you mentioned a half a century ago, we've come a tremendous long way. As I said, some of these treatments now generic and inexpensive.
What's interesting, doctor, and again, I love to talk medicine with doctors, so you'll forgive me. I find it fascinating. We still see people in this day and age, apparently in good health, just drop every once in a while. Like, whatever it is, a clot breaks off from a bad area in an artery or vein, and they die. How close are we to making that not happen, or is that just one of the vicissitudes of life?
Well, we're getting very close. Now with cholesterol-lowering drugs, we have drugs that prevent clots that people can take by mouth. The incidence of these events is going down, down, down. And although some of them may look good, that's one of the interesting things about taking care of cardiac patients. They look great. That's the problem. But they have risk factors. Same time. So their sudden deaths, people say, well, it's unexpected. He looked great. But underlying, they had problems all along.
We are talking with Dr. William Fishman. He's receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Doctors of Distinction event. And just listening to him, we're beginning to see why. Doctor, what's ahead in the pharmacological realm, do you think? What will we see, let's say, 10 years from now, studies, drugs in development that maybe we don't know about?
Well, we made a tremendous advance in the last, 40, 50 years, so much so that it's sort of winding down many
really?
Studies that we're involved with. There's a lot more work done with cancer and stroke and dementia. So we're still involved in trials, but not to the degree that we were years ago, because a lot of the drugs we have are very good, and as I said, now are generic. So we're looking at still the treatments for heart failure, ways of preventing clots, again, occurring in the heart. But we've actually come a very long way.
Clearly.
Yeah, in my lifetime, one of the things I was always grateful for, I was there during the boom of cardiac drug development. I was right in the thick of it. Watch these drugs on the market, preventing disease, and now have reached a point where they're very relatively inexpensive. And there's no excuse now where people can say, I can't afford preventative therapies. There's no excuse.
You know, you're right. When I'm on Medicare now, and I bought a good supplemental plan. And I take Zocor and Losartan.
Yeah.
My copay is zero.
Yeah, that's what I said. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, it really is unbelievable, and I take it religiously. I'd like to go in another realm. I know it's not your specialty, but I'm sure you know a lot about it as an internist. Cancer is still a very complex disease. And what I didn't know, and I wanted to get your reaction to this, I guess it was about 4 years ago, a book came out, and then Channel 13 did a special on it called The Emperor of All Maladies.
Yeah, wonderful book, which I read.
I read it. I'm a geek that way, Doc.
Yeah, I read it.
But what surprised me was, and I guess all medicine evolved this way, and we laymen are more surprised than we ought be, a lot of that stuff was hit and miss. I mean, I didn't realize it was people that knew about dyes that discovered chemotherapy. How far are we away? I don't know if we'll ever lick it, because every cancer seems almost unique to the person.
Right, and that's correct. We've learned that cancers, the word cancer has two different meanings. For instance, with breast cancer, there are good breast cancers where women will do very well, and bad breast cancers, where even with conventional treatments, they may not do as well. And that's where they're sort of working now, to try and individualize the treatment. In cardiac disease, you know, we have a broad spectrum. You know, we treat everybody sort of the same way. In oncology now, in cancer treatment, the set therapies will become more individualized.
Let's go back to heart disease, and then we'll wrap it up with you, sir. We've read recently that they have more types of devices that'll keep someone with heart failure going until maybe they get a replacement heart. There's the ventricular assist devices and other things. And then we hear little rumors about maybe stem cells enabling us to grow a replacement heart. Do you think we'll ever see those days?
Yes. Certainly with the devices are getting more sophisticated. And the Westchester Medical Center, we're a major site in the state for using these devices for heart failure patients. So we've come a long way. Still dealing with very, very sick people, though. So this is sort of a palliation, not a cure for treatments. Regarding stem cells, we have a long way to go. I have to really say this, because we've been involved in research in this area also. In some ways, there's a little bit of premature hype with it.
Of course.
We still don't know how to give the stem cells, what type of stem cell to use. We have a long way to go still in development. I think this is a promising approach in years to come, but we have a long way to go.
Doctor, congratulations for your Lifetime Achievement Award. I know now you were the head of the Westchester Medical Center and many other things, but man to man, your father, if there is a hereafter, he must be so proud.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, every time I talk to a patient, a wife, you know, the wife of a patient who's had a heart attack, and they're there with their children, and one of the great joys I have in my practice is to say, Dad's going to make it. Standing next to me is the spirit of my father.
Wow. I can't end any better than that. I'm done. Doctor, congratulations, and it's been a privilege.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Wonderful privilege. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, Doctor. What a privilege. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words.
When considering a building or renovation project, you need someone on your side. An experienced and knowledgeable company with expertise in planning, budgeting, organization, and control. Whether the project is a house, a school, a retail location, or an office building, you need Reverso Associates on your side. They're focused on two things: to provide or assist in the management of building programs from the earliest planning through occupancy, and to provide a flexible, experienced management consulting capability specializing in the needs of the construction industry. With a staff of architects, engineers, construction managers, estimators, construction accountants, schedulers, draftsmen, and other specialists, and with experience from over 1,000 projects, Reverso Associates can meet your needs effectively. When deciding on any type of construction project, or if a project is heading in the wrong direction, you need the expertise and experience of Reverso Associates on your side. Call for a consultation, 914-723-3474, or visit reversoassociates.com. Reverso Associates, a team of experts to get the job done.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
We have reached return. This is Westchester Talk Radio, and we're broadcasting live this evening from the Doral Arrowwood Hotel in Rye Brook, New York, for the 2018 Doctors of Distinction. And there are many vendors here tonight as well. But first, we remind you we're produced this evening by Shaw Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Durante Rentals, Reverso Associates, J.P. Michael Pest Management, Michael Labriola, and my engineer tells me it's J.P. McHale, and my eyes deceive me. Salem Golf Club as well. And did I say Michael Labriola? If I didn't, I just did. I'm Bob Marone here with my co-host Jim Cleefield and the wonder of all majestic and magical board operators and engineers, Matt Kahan. Say hello, Matt.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Goodbye, Matt. All righty. And goodbye is the theme that we've set. One of the people here is on the board of a wonderful place. They do wonderful work. It is the Hospice of Westchester. Now, he himself is the proprietor of, Beecher Flukes Funeral Home, and they're at Bedford Road, in Pleasantville, New York. Please welcome to our board broadcast, William Flukes. Good morning. You can tell I do a morning show as well. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
Pretty well. I need to ask you this, since you're a junior. Was Dad in the business?
Yes, I'm second generation, and my son is a third generation funeral director.
Okay, so you grew up with this stuff.
Yes, I did.
Actually, it is a very important and profound business. It is a business that each of us, in some way, shape, or form, will visit while we're alive, and then obviously at the end of life. Our parents, tragically perhaps our children, friends. What you do is important. What's the most important thing about being a funeral director?
The most important thing is to have the compassion. When you meet a grieving family, whether it's for their 95-year-old mother or their 21-year-old son or daughter, you have to have the compassion and the understanding to get them through a very difficult situation. And one of the things is when all is said and done and they tell you that this you made this situation very palatable. So we're fortunate when they do tell us that because we know we made a difficult time easy for them.
You must deal with situations that are, for lack of a better word, almost inconsolable. If someone loses a six or seven-year-old child, how do you keep your own composure, which is important?
It is difficult, especially anybody younger than myself. It is disturbing. But when it's a young child and the type of tragedy or anything, you kind of have to divorce yourself from the situation and be the professional. And that's what we do. We be the professionals for them, allow them to grieve, and us to guide them.
You know what's interesting? I think I mentioned to you off air that I grew up close to the business. A dear friend of mine was owned a funeral home. His family did. And so I know a little bit about it. But the business has changed a lot. On one hand, someone can come in and buy a very expensive coffin, buy expensive services, an expensive plot. But on the other hand, someone could come in, get a cremation, go in and out the door in one day. It seems like you've developed a business model to serve all.
Oh, we have to. We have to meet the needs economically and emotionally of all of the families. And today, economics is a big area for that. And some people do. They have scaled back services, visitation. Cremation is definitely on the rise. In New York State, the cremation rate has just creeped up to 50%, as opposed to a place like Oregon or Washington State, where it's at like 92%. So it's creeping up.
Now, we've also read there are people that want to be buried, but I know there are laws. They want to be buried to the extent that they can without a box, without, I guess, a sealer. How common is that, and what does the law require?
Well, they actually call it a green burial. And actually, the Jewish people have been doing that for centuries. So it's all according to how green you want to be or how orthodox you want to be. But the cemeteries are very flexible today. Obviously, they have to be. And we're flexible. We let you choose what service and what type of products you want.
What are the regulatory limitations? I mean, can you put a body in the ground untreated without a box?
Yes.
I was not aware of this. See, that's interesting to me. I want to move on. Yes, Matthew has a question.
Okay.
Are you planning a trip?
No.
His wife, by the way, may be coming soon because she wrecks every car they have. Go ahead.
No. No, my question has to do with the fact that I've heard that there's a new type of burial as well where they use some type of alkaline solution and that they would basically wash the body and it produces the same effect as cremation but without the high temperatures of cremation. Do you know anything about that?
Forgive me, but this seems like something that could be used for a murder hit. That's what happens when you grow up in a mafia neighborhood. I'm very interested in this, sir.
It's called alkaline hydrolysis. And it it is exactly what you say. It's like almost like an acid wash. It is not accepted in many states. There are some states that accept it. I think Florida is one of them.
Why wouldn't it be?
It just hasn't been approved.
Okay, so it's a question of time. And without making light of it, I would imagine that, you know, they need to take a look at it. The use that I kidded about probably could happen.
They're all looking at it from an environmental standpoint.
Okay, I see. All right, I want to move on because your business is clear, and we'll give you a promo in a bit for taking the time. You are on the board of Hospice Care. Now, my mom was taken care of back in Brooklyn 20-some-odd years ago by hospice and very well, with love and tenderness. You are on the board of a hospice. Now, obviously, your business, you're the next stop after that. But you care. What does this hospice do? What does the Hospice of Westchester do that's special?
Hospice of Westchester is the number one hospice choice in Westchester County. We provide home care, nursing home care, hospital care, any place that the care needs to be given. Once the doctor has cleared them for hospice, hospice goes in and they do a great job, the nurses with the evaluation and helping the families with home health care aides if they're at home and taking care of them in either the nursing home or in the hospital.
Do you ever visit the center? Do you get a chance to see how the care is and what kind of care they're delivering?
I have seen it because if someone passes away on hospice and we go to the house to make the transfer back to the funeral home, I see the nurses when they're there. They're all very compassionate, very knowledgeable, and very astute at what they do.
Now, we're going to keep a tough situation a tad light by saying, obviously, you could, well, it's actually a serious question, but what I'm going to say is you have a conflict of interest here, but nonetheless, I need to ask it. I personally am a great believer in assisted suicide done right in circumstances. From what you've seen in a hospice and even in your field, do you have any feelings about that?
No, it's an individual that wants to do what they're going to do, and however they plan to get there, it's an individual choice.
Okay, now another question, if I may. A lot of people, I read a story in a newspaper preparing for my program the other day, where there was an individual that was in hospice like for over a year, 2 years. How can that happen? Is there any time limit?
They have to be reevaluated by the doctors. Every 6 weeks, 6 months, I'm not sure the exact period, but the doctors have to come in and reevaluate them and make sure that they are hospice ready and to be able to continue on the program.
Has all of the, and I understand the reason for it, and as a newsman, it's very compelling. We're worried about opioids. We're worrying about people being addicted to things. But for people in hospice, that ought not be a concern. Has this focus on opioids and controlling their distribution, has it hurt hospices in not being able to provide the right kind of palliative care?
Well, one of the problems is that there's a tax being instituted on opioids now that affects our bottom line because we are a 501(c) not-for-profit. So as these costs go up and the reimbursement is not there, it hurts our programs.
Now, are the taxes being put on the opioids to control their use and make people use them less, or are they being done, because it's hard to trust the government in this way, to raise funds?
I don't know about the raising funds, but I think they're trying to slow it down.
Well, as a newsman, I'll add that to it, because that's all I ever see, unfortunately. Is there any way to get a waiver for a hospice? I mean, your people aren't going to become addicted. They're not going to live long enough to be addicted.
The Hip Cannies, who is the New York State governing organization for hospice, is working on that. But, of course, it's like anything. It's a lobby thing that has to be taken care of.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to give you my business card, and I don't mind saying this on the air. You get a hold of those people, you have them call me, and I will get them on the radio regularly. There's no reason why someone at the end of life, and obviously I'm adding my own passion to this, there's no reason why someone at the end of life should have to die in pain and misery. So you have them call me. You see, I'm a news director at another organization. You have them call me, and we'll get them on regularly. We will help you with this. And if it means getting hold of politicians, we'll do that too.
That's great.
Anyway, I want to thank you. But before you go, we always let you plug. I'd like you to talk about the hospice, how we can get a hold of them, and also, sir, your funeral home, how we can get a hold of you.
Well, my name is Bill Flukes. I'm the owner of the Beecher Flukes Funeral Home in Pleasantville. We're at 418 Bedford Road in Pleasantville, and I'm happy to be on the board of Hospice of Westchester, which is located at 1025 Westchester Avenue in White Plains. Our phone number is 914-682-1484, and you'll get the operator, and they'll plug you through whoever you need to call or talk to. We have counselors, we have social workers, so we have everything that is needed for a family that feels the time it's time for them to go on, their loved one to go on hospice.
Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate your being with me and making time.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Take care. And your partner in crime over there brought you over. Thank him. Thank you very much. And she is, and I'd like to give you her name, Holly Benedict. She's the Director of Public Affairs and Development at Hospice of Westchester. Thank you both very, very much. Have a great evening. We'll be right back. It looks like an old friend is next in the dock from Hightower. They're financial people. They actually know what they're doing, so you won't want to go away. We'll be right back after these words.
Contractors, can't find the construction equipment you need?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. Durante Rentals has it all, from skid steers to cement mixers, light towers to mini excavators, generators to scissor lifts. Our equipment is always available and always well-maintained.
Are you worried about employee downtime due to equipment delivery delays?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. At Durante Rentals, on-time delivery of your construction equipment is our priority.
Is your job site located in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. With 7 metro area locations, Durante Rentals has got you covered.
Do you want to be treated as more than just a number?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. As a family-owned business, customer service has always been Durante Rentals' number one priority.
Are you looking to save time and money on your next construction project?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. The friendly and knowledgeable staff at Durante Rentals makes renting equipment easy and affordable.
With locations in Mount Vernon, the Bronx, West Nyack, Flushing, Queens, Carmel, Elmsford, and Brewster, call Durante Rentals at 1-800-DURANTI or click DuranteRentals.com.
Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service. Call 1-800-DURANTI today.
Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. We are broadcasting live at the Doral Arrowwood Hotel in Rybrook, New York. This is Westchester Talk Radio, and we are here for the 2018 Doctors of Distinction Awards. Many vendors are here, many supporters, many sponsors. Again, we're Westchester Talk Radio. I'm Bob Marone, here with my co-host Jim Cleefield and engineer Matt Kahan. We're produced this evening by Shaw Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower, Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County's Office of Economic Development, Robeson, the house that Service built, and Accorda Therapeutics.
Life Science.
Life Science. That voice you heard was Matt. He likes to test it out every once and a while. My next guest, no stranger to these microphones. He is, of course, from Hightower. He's Richard Flahov. He is the private wealth advisor and director of research and planning at Hightower Westchester, a financial services and advisory firm. Hello once again.
Bob, good to see you. Thanks for having me on.
It's always good to see you. I guess we'll say straight off, how's business?
Business is going well. Markets are cooperating for the most part. And, you know, we're a small team, but we work with the collective, and we've had a good year so far. We have been doing a lot of planning for folks. You know, we're more longer term in nature, so we're always busy, and there's always things to be doing.
I'd like to get to the heart of that, because you know what a lot of people are worried about right now, and you've been in the business long enough to know this. People worry about bubbles. We see the stock market at over 25,000 now. 25 million, pardon me. And it's scary. Okay, I mean 25,000. We see the market. Is it plateauing? Is it not? Are there still buys? The good news, and this is set up now, your company does not go in and buy and sell and trade in that way necessarily at all. You're looking at the longer term, as you said. But how do you allay fears of clients who see that every day and say, my God, has the market peaked?
Yeah, well, the one saying I always bring up is the only free lunch in town is diversification. So that's a big part of what we do.
That was a good answer. We can go now, but go ahead.
We look at a holistic approach, right? We take the financial plan into consideration. What are their goals? Are they short-term, intermediate, or long, right? And then we couple that with where the markets sit. So it's not just taking everything in a vacuum is, okay, well, you know, what's going on in the markets? What's going on in Asia, et cetera? That's a part of it, you know, of course. But when we field calls based on, you know, markets and things of that nature, and if there are worries, you know, we have their allocation built to those specific clients' risk tolerances, right? And listen, we all know the folks that are going to call when the market drops 10%. But what we're seeing this year is somewhat of a normal market environment, right? There is going to be volatility. What we've seen the last, let's say, 6 to 8 years is somewhat abnormal, right?
Right, abnormal in that it's continued to climb, but without a lot of volatility.
Correct, and that's something we've positioned portfolios for. Is we have some buffers in there, so-called insurance policies, to where if the market were to drop, there is protection there. We do have some cash as well in portfolios. They actually yield something nowadays with rates going up. But, you know, we talk about this as a team on a regular basis, and, you know, we have to with the constant news flow going on. But we're not overly tactical, to your point before, right? We're not going to make any big bets in one direction or try to time the market, because anyone that tells you they know how to time the market, you should turn the other way and run.
Unless you're going to sell them and turn a bridge. One of the things that I found refreshing when I first met you was this idea, and I don't like to use the term hedge because, you know, hedge funds have got the reputation they have, but in the truest important sense, there are people out there, the biggest concern, I mean, they'd like to make a little money, but it's capital preservation. And the fact that you're willing to mix a portfolio with the proper hedges in there, which is what the word should have been used for, is important. That takes a lot of research. You're in charge of research. How much time do you put into that? And how do you treat each portfolio given that research?
Well, Bob, it's just a lot of reading. And a lot of folks, I think, like to put a lot of mnemonics and talk about this and that and all the quantitative aspects of things. But the edge really is in just sitting down and understanding the type of funds you're investing in, the type of markets, the type of team, the type of people that are running it. You know, is the process the same? Have they stayed true to their process? So we couple both the quantitative and the qualitative. And it's a team approach, right? I mean, I have an expertise in certain areas. So does Peter and Roman and the folks back at the office there. So honestly, you can't let it subside. We're constantly listening to calls and podcasts, and we have folks in the office today. I was out, you know, visiting a manager at lunch. So it's a constant flow of information. But I think a lot of it over the years, you're able to really push aside the noise and really concentrate on what's important.
Do you ever have a client come in, and going back to my old Wall Street days now, and they have an approach that you know is dangerous? Maybe they want to delve in derivatives or derivatives with respect to them only. Maybe they don't want other investments. They want to get into the commodities market. They want to get into, again, there's so many derivatives out there from interest rate swaps, God knows what. Do you ever tell them no, or do you just simply do what they want to do, but with the caveat?
Yeah, and that's why we lead with the financial plan. So what is the ultimate goal with your money? Putting aside essentially what type of investments, what risk tolerance they want. Okay, what are your goals? What do you want your money to do for you? I think when you start that with that in mind, you're able to build out a portfolio that makes the most sense for them. Now, what's in that portfolio can be a variety of different things, to your point. We are fiduciaries at heart, and we have to do what's in the best interest for our clients.
I'm going to underscore that for you. That is a legal term. It is a Wall Street. It's a financial term. That means they are responsible for your money, and they must make your interest come first. And I just want to underscore that for you as a separate voice.
Yeah, and it's at the core of what Hightower represents and what we stand for. And it flows through to your question on, you know, what type of investments make sense for folks. And listen, at the end of the day, you have ultimate discretion over your assets. We're there to provide advice to the best of our ability. and really stop folks from really stepping off that cliff if need be. And that can be a variety of different things.
I want to reintroduce you to folks, and then I'd like to go through two steps. One, what the process is when someone shows up to your office, and the other being what kinds of products might we see in a typical portfolio. But I want to be sure I get his title right. I know him well, but his title is very long. He does a lot of different things at Hightower. He is Richard Flahave. He is a private wealth advisor and director of research and planning at Hightower Westchester. Let's talk about, I walk into your office, and we'll make it modest. I have $4 million. I mean, relatively modest. I don't, but pretend I did. And that's Matt, by the way. And my first goal is income preservation, but I also don't want to lose my wealth because of inflation, and I wouldn't mind making a few bucks. Who's going to sit down with me? What are you going to tell me?
Well, the way we would build out a portfolio, it's similar to the constraints that you mentioned. Income can be a factor, right? So a lot of good companies pay dividends, right?
And yes,
we generally would align ourselves with good companies. That's kind of our idea. So what we'll do with someone like that, as I mentioned before, we start with the financial plan, understand what your income needs are. Are you close to retirement? How much do you need in retirement? What are your expenditures right now? You know, I think a lot of folks think they will spend less in retirement. Tends really not to be the case. Those expenses just change. The categories just change.
Plus, habits don't always change.
Exactly. So what we'll do is we take those factors into account and say, okay, you know, this is what we'll do with your portfolio. We can target certain income levels and certain, you know, monthly draws that you would need to support a lifestyle. And if that lifestyle is not able to be supported by the portfolio, what adjustments can we make to get it as close as we can?
Well, that's important because there are many different firms, as you know, that if you read about them or you go in there, they say, well, we're a bond house. We specialize in bond portfolios. And then there are people who are mutual fund events. Some people like foreign equities. Other people like to work Asian markets. Does your firm have a particular specialty, or is it portfolio management in a generic sense?
Yeah, so we invest across the spectrum, across all vehicles. And, you know, obviously wealth levels and certain qualifications will open you up to, you know, different alternative investments, so to speak. But we're really customizing portfolios for clients. So we're not going to pigeon-toe you into one sector, because ideally that's not what we stand by. That's not going to be capital preservation. That's not going to get you to where you need to be. The opportunities shift on a monthly, yearly, you know, semi-annual basis. So for us, it's being tactical, not overly tactical, but being in the right places at the right time, and diversified, because not everything in your portfolio is going to go up all at the same time, and that's by design.
No, not everything is going to go up. Your company, it's located here in Westchester. How often do you go out into the field and meet groups of people and try and get maybe retirees and things like that into the fold? Do you have forums? Do you have seminars? Where can people look for them?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what kind of brought me here tonight for the Doctor's Distinction. You know, we have a lot of first-generation wealth creators and business owners as clients. You know, and we have a lot of millennials as well as retirees. So we have an expertise across kind of age ranges as well as wealth ranges. And for us, you know, we're out, we try to be, you know, we all kind of live here locally in the community. We're involved with some local organizations. I'm a Rotarian. Roman's a Rotarian.
Okay, so you do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what makes it fun at the end of the day, right? I mean, you can get, you can get bogged down with the readings and things like that. And I think the more you're involved with the community and what you can do on that front, just, you know, it makes you sleep at night a little easier, I think.
Well, it does. Now, one of the things that a firm like yours can do, a lot of millennials feel they don't need to invest yet. A lot of people getting ready to retire say, I am done. I'm probably only going to live 10 years. Now they're going to find out they live 25. You can you not, and if so, how, serve someone who's 21 and getting their first full-time job, run through the gamut. Now, they have different needs. Do you have products and or strategies for each of those sectors?
Yeah, so we've laughed about this a few times in the past. I, myself, am a millennial.
Tell them to leave. No.
And, you know, one thing, you know, I specialize in is I have some millennial clients. The bulk of my clients are millennials. And, you know, we will focus on debt reduction, debt payment, et cetera. We do get some clients who, you know, we call them Henrys.
What's a Henry?
High earners, not yet rich. Not rich yet.
I was one of those once, but I'm not anymore. Go ahead.
So, you know, we have certain business models and plans for certain clients, depending on their wealth or age range. And, you know, I focus on a certain sector, so does, you know, the partners at the firm as well.
Well, I'll tell you why I brought that up. There are young people today who've gone to the right schools, who knew what they wanted to do, and are making already six-figure incomes and good six-figure incomes. And I don't think, and how do you get to them? And this is the most serious thing I'm going to ask you. If they invest their money properly, they not only can have very secure retirements, the heart of their life, their big earning years, they will just have a much easier time of it.
And that's it. That's what we, you know, speak of the devil here. I was sitting with a millennial client yesterday, and, you know, they have saved and done a good job of saving, right? I mean, and that's something we always preach to clients. I mean, you don't spend as much as you, or more than you make, right? And when we have clients like that, you know, they have the substantial income. The idea is to make the most of it. And to your point, the earlier you start, the power of compounding, it's astronomical.
It is astronomical. And the reason I'm doing this, and I'm gonna make a pitch for you, and I'd like your reaction to it. I grew up on Wall Street, so I know the different strategies. I've worked for firms and or people who, once someone had money in their account, it was an opportunity to figure out what's the next product I can sell them to get a commission or an income stream. And it was based on that. They were one-offs. This guy, maybe we'll sell him look, we have these new funds. Let's put them in them. I get a commission. Oh, look, we have these new annuities. But you guys don't do that. And I know I'm making it sound like an infomercial, but I learned that. And tell people how different that is.
Well, the industry has changed. And we are almost 100% fee advisory-based as far as the way we're structured. So we can trade the account 5 times or 500 times, and you will pay the same amount. And it's not, and it gets back to the basis of what Hightower is and the fiduciary standard. We need to do what's best for the client. And whether that is trading in and out of certain aspects of the market or doing a financial plan, it's an all-inclusive fee, so we're holistic in that sense. But we're really just trying to, you're the CEO, we're the CFO. We're trying to set you up for financial success at an early age throughout the rest of your life. So there's this long-term planning aspect, whether or not it's around retirement planning, debt reduction, whatever it may be, we're ultimately trying to get you to the right place, have wills in place, have trusts in place. So there's a lot more than just markets and investing, and I think sometimes folks get caught up in maybe the hot stock or whatever it may be to try to... You build wealth over a long period of time.
How can people get a hold of you?
So we're HightowerWestchester.com is the website. We have we're over here on 440 Mamaroneck Avenue between the Hutch and 95. My personal email are flahov@HightowerAdvisors.
Flahov, if you can pronounce it, you get a bonus, you get a discount.
And yeah, we're on Twitter, and we have a Facebook page as well. You know, we produce a lot of content, podcasts with you guys, and you know, we're trying to keep it relevant and interesting.
Well, you do a good job of it, and congratulations just on how well your business is doing, and it has a lot to do with the kinds of things you said here today. Thank you very, very much. You've been listening to Westchester Talk Radio. I don't know if this is a wrap or not, fellas, but Richard Flahov is the private wealth advisor and director of research and planning at Hightower Westchester. Check them out. Gentlemen, are we done?
I don't know just yet, but I'm sure we'll find out.
That was Matt Cahan, and I'm looking at my co-host. He does most of the broadcasting around here. I come by and give him a break once in a while. Jim Cleefield. For Jim Cleefield, in case we don't come back, and he can always cut this out. That's what he does when he edits. This has been Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live here at the Arrowwood? The Doral Arrowwood. Thank you. At Rybrook, New York.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends, bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better. Shark Creative.